Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we're going to get to my fellow panelists momentarily and talk about the news of the day. But first of all, I have a guest on that's got a plane to catch, so I wanted to get to our good friend Dr. Robert Jeffers, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, and friend of President Trump. We want to invite Robert to our into our program. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Tim. Good to talk to you.
Are you at the airport now?
I'm at the Reagan Airport at the gate, getting ready to go on in a little bit, but I've got plenty of time to talk to you.
Okay, brother. Thank you so much. Hey, you were at the White House a couple of days, was it yesterday, I guess it was, regarding President Trump's, they were commemorating, I guess, the accomplishments in terms of federal judges, Supreme Court justices, and so forth. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, yeah, the ceremony was in the East Room yesterday, and it was originally to celebrate the 150th federal judge that had been confirmed under President Trump, but it actually turned out to be 158. And within 2 months, he'll have 182. And, Tim, that means that 25% of federal judges have been confirmed by President Trump. Their average age is less than 50 years of age. And I really believe this is going to be the most lasting legacy of the president, that he has reshaped the courts. And, you know, people say, well, why is that important? We saw a great illustration of this just yesterday. Back in 2017, the president had signed an executive order that would offer healthcare workers protection if they didn't want to participate in an abortion or a physician-assisted suicide because of religious conscience. Well, yesterday, one single solitary federal judge overturned that protection, and now it no longer exists. Our federal judges are by far the most powerful branch of our government, and that's why we need conservatives both at the appellate level and at the Supreme Court, who will interpret the law by what the Constitution really says and not by what liberals wish it said. And, you know, in 2016, the primary reason exit polls showed that evangelicals voted for President Trump was because of his promise of a conservative judiciary. Well, yesterday, he was affirming that that promise was not just made, it has now been kept, which is why I think so many evangelicals continue to support this president.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, Robert. I guess in the as we look at the universe, I would say obviously God Almighty is in control. He's sovereign. Second to God Almighty, I'm going to say federal judges are
they think they're God Almighty.
Yes, and they're trying to challenge God Almighty. But anyway, this is great news, and I didn't want this moment to pass without us reflecting on the reasons why Christians voted for President Trump, primarily because of the judges, and those votes have been vindicated. Because I know a lot of people struggled with President Trump early on, especially because, who is this guy? You know, he's from New York, he's a billionaire, he's never been known as a conservative. And at times he wasn't pro, you know, before he converted to being pro-life, he was pro-choice, as they call it. And now we have evidence. The evidence is in after 3 years now. President Trump absolutely followed through on his promise and is continuing to follow through on his promise to appoint federal conservative federal judges and good Supreme Court justices. And so, Robert, you were there, and go ahead, talk about that.
Yeah, let me just say this. I think this also explains why the left is desperate. They are obsessed with impeachment. They know they probably cannot beat him legitimately in 2020 at the ballot box, but they also know if he is reelected, Tim, he'll have an opportunity to appoint anywhere from one to three new Supreme Court justices in his second term, and that will reshape our country for a generation. The left knows this, and that is why they are willing to do whatever it takes to get him out of office.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, thanks so much, brother. Glad you were at the White House and you were able to, encourage the president and advise him and to talk to him. And we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning.
Well, thank you for what AFA is doing to support the president and support these conservative judges. Yeah. You all are key to what's happening.
May your flight be on time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Robert. See you. That's Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. He was at the White House yesterday, and I watched the event at the White House on YouTube yesterday. Anyway, let me introduce our panel. Dr. Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. Good morning, Robert. Good morning, Ray. Got my
good
R's
morning,
confused.
Tim.
Good morning,
How
Ray.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you. Also, Walker Wildman's in studio, as is Chris Woodward. And Chris is filling in for Fred today. A lot to talk about. Ray, what are your thoughts on, that you heard Dr. Jeffress talking about the number of federal judges that the president has appointed? It's historic, I believe.
Go ahead. He said it's soon to be one in every four federal judges Mr. Trump will have appointed. I think that is not just more than any other president in this short period of time. I think it's far more than any president, Republican or Democrat, has done. And, you know, Tim, you're exactly right that a lot of evangelicals voted for him, just not sure, but hopeful. We wanted to see the judiciary change, wanted to see pro-life justices right. put on the Supreme Court. And I think 2 years in, middle of his term, it's exactly what Robert Jeffress said, promises made, promises kept.
Yeah. Well, Walker, look, let's be honest. Everybody knows this. A lot of Christians, struggled with President Trump's some of the things he said, some of the way he behaved, especially during the primary. Mm-hmm. You know, I was for Ted Cruz. I voted for Ted Cruz, as a lot of Christians did, in the primary and other candidates, too.
Right.
So Donald Trump was not our first choice. But then when it came down to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, there is no choice there because of the reasons that Robert just talked about. Mm-hmm. That is, these federal judges, which are appointed by whoever the president is, their rulings last for 10, 20, 30 years. That's the legacy of President Trump.
Yeah, this election really was a humbling moment for conservatives because the—
Which election?
2016. This past election was a humbling moment for conservatives because we have to ask ourselves, are we voting for personality or policy? And if you're voting for personality, then you're not going to vote for Donald J. Trump. But if you're voting for policy, mm-hmm. which is actually what matters, is policy, not personality, then President Trump's policies are largely in line with Christian values.
Yeah. Well, let me just disagree with you to a point. We agree, and I think you're going to agree with me after I say what I say, primarily because I'm your dad.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And, you
to
know,
say.
We got Christmas coming up, and I can.
I agree with you.
I can talk to your mom, and we can withhold your Christmas present or not. So I mean, you're vulnerable right now. But let me just say this: it's not my style necessarily.
That was a quid pro quo, by the way.
It was.
Yeah. You do this, I'll do.
That's
I'll
that,
give you
that's what
Christmas.
A quid pro quo is.
Yeah,
Chris, you are going to get to talk. So
I'm
hang in there.
I'm launching an inquiry.
Okay. But let me just say this: I do like President Trump's fighting personality when it comes to going against the left. I do like that. Now, does sometimes he get too personal and too petty? He does. But you got to take the good with the bad on that one. But I would say overall, and I probably speak for a lot of our listeners, they like somebody who's not going to lay down and take it all the time, but they're going to fight back. Now, we don't like it when he curses, or when he gets too personal with people. We don't like that. That's the personality.
And that's what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's what you're talking about. And let's face it, 10 years ago and prior to that, he lived a playboy billionaire lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, it's only the last 10 years he seemed to have stabilized in his life. So, anyway, all right. But We just say thank you to President Trump and his administration for following through on their promises, as Dr. Robert Jeffress said. Mm-hmm. We can't overstate, folks, how important this is. It may have well saved our republic. It really, Chris,
yeah. Yeah.
The appointments of these judges.
Very true. I remember in 2016, I was here monitoring the Republican National Convention. I believe it was on the night President Trump, or then-candidate Trump, officially got the nomination. But Tony Perkins walks out on stage, and Tony went on to say in his speech that we're not just electing a president, we're electing judges, Supreme Court judges, federal mm-hmm. judges, yeah. Things like that. And that was one of the reasons why Tony and other organizations came to the convention and agreed to back President Trump, because, as he said, we're not just electing a chief executive.
Ray, this may if it's not the top issue, it's probably one of the top two issues on why the left has gone nuclear.
Well, number one, we know that what they say 81% of evangelicals voted for Mr. Trump. I think that number is going to be at least that high in 2020, barring anything unusual next year. The left knows that. They know the future of the nation is at stake. And I will give the left at least this much credit. They understand what is at stake. Mm-hmm. That's why they are rolling out the heavy artillery, the right. heavy bombers. They're holding nothing back. They want to get him on impeachment if they can. They want to attack him any way they can. Let's understand next year is going to be I think it's going to be an absolute war, metaphorically speaking, as we come through September and October, because the left understands the direction of this nation for the next generation is going to be decided in November.
Walker, the good thing, and I'm no psychologist or sociologist or psychiatrist or anything like that. Some people have said I need one. But I do think the personality of Donald Trump, that personality type, is one that's built to withstand mm-hmm. and stand up to the attacks. Now, does anybody yeah. like that? No, and it gets to him sometimes. As I said before, every man has his breaking point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes he shows that and he lashes out. But I do think he's able to hold up every day and go to work and not worry about it's not debilitating.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. President Trump's one of those guys that you would he might not be your buddy on the playground,
right?
But you want him on your side when you're fighting somebody,
right?
Fighting the bullies. So that's right. He's a president. He's not our buddy, our friend. He's a president. He's leading our country,
right?
So the bombastic, braggadocious fighting mentality that he has is great for the field that he's in,
right.
for the position that he's in, yeah. And that's what Christians like. And really, when you talk to, and I've talked to some Christians or conservatives that don't like President Trump, and the common thing is they say, well, I don't like his tweets, or he's too braggadocious, or this or that. But nobody, no Christian ever says that his policies are bad. That's, he has bad
yeah.
policies,
right.
like President Obama did. Mm-hmm. It's all these side issues.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to watch the show on Facebook or YouTube, just go there, type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show. And we are also posting the stories that we're going to be discussing on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Chris, yep. what do you got?
Well, I want to begin with some sound from our president. Donald J. Trump was in the great state of Louisiana last night for a campaign rally there, and he said Democrats are on a campaign to transform America, and they're becoming increasingly totalitarian. Clip one.
Suppressing dissent, defaming the innocent, eliminating due process, staging show trials, and trying to overthrow American democracy to impose their socialist agenda. Make no mistake, if the Democrats get back in, you will have a depression, the likes of which you've never seen before, and you are doing well.
Now, much like the other rallies he's been at, this drew a large crowd, and you heard people there supporting
where was he, in West Monroe?
It was in
Monroe?
Monroe or Monroe, however you want to say it there in Louisiana.
Well, let me ask you this. He was there not only to promote his own mm-hmm. agenda and campaign, but also to support the Republican gubernatorial candidate.
Yes, there is a Republican running against incumbent Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards in the upcoming race they're having there, and it's on kind of an off day. It's not the usual framework that a lot of states are accustomed to in terms of electing somebody. They're going to have a special election, if that's what you call it, in the coming days later.
When is it?
I believe it's on a Saturday, the 16th. Thank you, Adam.
Is LSU playing?
I don't know.
It might affect turnout, huh?
Well, I'm serious.
They're only paying attention to this Saturday, so we'll they're playing Ole Miss on the
16th.
Playing
at, yeah, they're in Oxford.
They're playing at Ole Miss on the
– Yeah, on the 16th.
Well, I'm just – I'm halfway
know.
Kidding.
You never know, right?
You never know. But anyway, so it's the 16th. Rarely do you hear about elections on a Saturday.
Right.
Anyway, it's the gubernatorial race there in Louisiana, and I'm looking. I was reading about this. It's a business Republican businessman Eddie Rispon
or something like that.
Rispon, yeah. I hope that's pronounced.
Yeah, he
correctly.
Beat a congressman for that nomination to get thus far,
and he'll be going against incumbent Democrat John Bel Edwards.
Yeah. And talking about evangelicals and pro-lifers and things like that, Governor Bel Edwards has been a pro-life Democrat,
right,
which is an oddity in today's America, I think. But here in the South, we do have Democrats that are pro-life on record. So we'll see whether or not that helps him coming up against the Republican.
Yeah, there are very few Democrats left in southern states that win statewide elections. But Edwards did last time around.
Right.
All right, next story.
Well, something we're going to hear a lot about today. The Democrats are forging ahead in their impeachment probe
really?
Or inquiry. Yes, sir. One of the people we're going to hear a lot about today is former Trump administration advisor John Bolton. He was either fired or he quit back in September, depending on what news outlet or person you might listen to. But he has been called to testify before Democrats in these private meetings. He's been summoned, I believe is the technical word they've used. We'll find out whether or not he will agree. He certainly has a history of being at odds against Democrats, but they want him to come forward because he would be the highest-ranking Trump administration official to testify thus far, and they also seem to think that maybe he's got some angst against President Trump, and therefore he might come forward with whatever he might allegedly know. Walker, I would think the expert on these impeachment probes thus far. Do you think there's anything there?
John Bolton, I know he and President Trump had some disagreements on foreign policy, whether you should stay in Syria, et cetera, et cetera. But for the most part, I think John Bolton will be a safe testimony. He's a smart guy. He's been in it a long time.
He's a patriotic guy, too.
Yeah, there's not going to be anything bombshell that comes from John Bolton's testimony.
I thought he refused to testify. Is he refusing?
Well, if that was the case, that was not. It has not been reported this morning.
Yeah.
I'm reading from USA Today, CNN, and Fox all had information saying he was scheduled to testify.
Hey, the big news to me of the day is this next story.
Yes, there have been reports, really, and it's not even a report. You can find it for yourself. The attorney for the alleged so-called unidentified whistleblower, whatever adjective you want to use, he was making some social media posts as far back as 2017 about a coup against President Trump. And President Trump actually, I believe he spoke to this a little bit last night in Louisiana. I did not have that audio. But the gentleman that's representing the whistleblower may have some ill intent against the president, and therefore that would kind of give you an idea of
you think
what's going on here. Yeah.
Boy, you're an astute newsman right there.
Well, I'm trying to be the newsman.
Let me tell folks if they haven't heard about this story, then Walker, and then Walker, you go first, and then Ray goes second. Okay, folks, so if you haven't been paying attention to the news very much the last 24 hours, you have this, quote, whistleblower, who had secondhand information. He doesn't technically fit the definition of whistleblower according to federal law.
Right.
But he's called it anyway. Who is testifying against the president, President Trump, trying to get him impeached. Okay. The The fellow who's this whistleblower's attorney is named Mark Zaid, Z-A-I-D. Well, what was discovered now in the last 24 hours is that in 2017, this guy, this attorney for the, quote, whistleblower, Mark Zaid, that's not the whistleblower's name, I'm talking about the attorney's name, Mr. Zaid was tweeting that a coup was going to take place against President Trump. This is terrible news for the Democrats. I don't think this is going to change any Democrats' mind in Congress on this. Mm-hmm. Their minds have made up. That's why we're going through this impeachment inquiry thing and all this stuff is just a charade. And I don't know. Everybody knows it's just a waste of time and money. Let's just vote today. Who hates Trump? Raise your hand. That's basically what they're
right.
They're going on. But Walker, the fact that this attorney for this whistleblower used the word coup, that a coup was going to take place.
Yes.
This coup is what you do in a that's like an illegal takeover of a government or a. Mm-hmm. In some cases, an armed takeover of the government.
Yeah, yeah. What they're using here and what this attorney is using, but with his client, the whistleblower, is they're trying to use what traditionally has been legitimate processes for illegitimate means, and that is to out President Trump or run a coup against President Trump. And this whistleblower, who is being represented by the guy you're talking about, who talked about running a coup in 2017, just a little while after President Trump was sworn into office. Mm-hmm. The whistleblower, or the he's actually a fake whistleblower. He doesn't meet the legal qualifications, but he has been a concern amongst the White House for years now. That's why in 2017 he was assigned to the White House as a CIA analyst to do transcripts, etc. But they sent him back to the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, because they suspected this guy was a leaker.
You're talking about the, quote, whistleblower.
I'm talking about the whistleblower now. We started with the whistleblower's attorney. Now we're to the whistleblower. The White House sent him back to Langley, Virginia, and off of the White House detail, because they suspected he was one leaking details about calls with foreign leaders. And it turns out, now that he's the one leading the coup against President Trump, that he was probably the one leaking stuff all along.
Yeah, and it's not too big of a stretch when you look at, like, the Strzok text messages and stuff like that that predate the Trump administration, that literally things have been going on for years now to not only prevent him from being elected but to topple his administration.
Right.
You know, this whole thing stinks to high heaven. I hope, and I don't understand all the legalities. This, you guys can correct me, but I hope that this whistleblower is forced to come public, is forced to give testimony and go on the record. It's first of all, the fix has been in between the Democrats and the whistleblower from the get-go, right? So let's go public and let's let him be cross-examined by the Republicans and their attorneys, and then we'll see how well he stands up, which will be not well at all.
Right? Yeah, I agree. But the fact that this guy would use the word coup, that's like using the word resistance that the Democrats use right away. In other words, folks, and it's become clear with what's happened at the DOJ and the FBI, and that's going to be more exposed, I'm hearing, in the coming weeks with this investigation that's going on with William Barr and the gentleman he has appointed.
Yeah, John Durham.
John Durham. But the fact that Democrats use words like that they use in third world countries to illegally take over a democratically elected government is just stunning. Coup? Really?
Mm-hmm.
And resistance and those kinds of things, those kinds of words. And they've used them since the beginning, even before Donald Trump was sworn into office. We will return in a couple of minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we set our dates for the 2020 Spiritual Heritage Tours. And so we wanted to make that information available to you. You can go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. But we do the trips to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, Virginia. That's one tour. And then we go to Washington, D.C., and Mount Vernon. That's the second tour. We do these back-to-back during 1 week, so people traveling from around the country who want to do both, you know, they can do everything in 1 week. So those are coming up in June and September of 2020. They fill up several months in advance. Historian Stephen McDowell will join us all along the way. It's going to be a wonderful time. For all the information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. There has been a rather covert attempt by some leftist groups to infect Christianity with the LGBT agenda. It started with mainline groups capitulating on issues like gay marriage. The United Methodists are in the throes of controversy over that very issue. Some universities and seminaries are teaching future pastors that the Bible affirms homosexuality. Hollywood has even produced films suggesting Jesus was gay. And now comes word that a Christian hymn society is publishing a collection of queer hymns, a gay songbook for the church. The song includes titles like God of Queer Transgressive Spaces. The Anglican Church of Canada called it a great source of affirmation and inclusion. Well, it seems to me that songbook is a great source of heresy and abomination. I wonder if they have any songs referencing Sodom and Gomorrah. Be sure to check out today's Toddcast podcast, free download, available on toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. I'm Tim with Walker and Chris and Ray, and we thank you for listening to AFR. Well, joining us today, as he does most Thursdays that he can, is Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word. Heard weekdays here on American Family Radio. It's a live, for the most part, live. They can record a few shows, but most part it's a live, interactive. By that I mean they take calls, Bible study. So on the air each afternoon from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock Central Time, right here on AFR. Good morning to you, Alex.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you.
How's the weather today in Charlotte?
Oh, beautiful. Sunny and about 58 degrees. It doesn't even feel like November.
Now, you don't live in Charlotte. You live around Charlotte, right?
Out in the boonies, kind of out in the country.
How long does it take you to get to the airport?
Oh, an hour.
Okay. Well, where were you last week and where are you going this week? You're a traveling man.
Well, God bless you. You know, last week I was at a little church in North Carolina called Good Shepherd Chapel, but this week I'm going to Stuart, Florida. Daryl Orman, and I'm going to be Sunday through Wednesday at First Baptist of Stuart, Florida, and that's kind of near Orlando, and we got some great listeners down that way. And in addition to doing a kind of an apologetic seminar for their church, I'm going to be in a couple of middle school and high schools to speak. Tim, you know, whenever I get in a public school, sometimes I basically do three different talks in schools. One is on leadership and how to be a leader, not a follower. And we talk about things like bullying and, not being, pressured or not getting on the bad side of things, being a negative influence. And then I do a talk on how to succeed in college. But my favorite thing to do in schools is I do a talk on the Constitution, how we got the Constitution. And you can just about share the gospel merely by quoting our founding fathers. And it's completely legal. And so, you know, I do a lot in Christian schools, but one of my favorite things to do is to get into public schools. And then, of course, we can give kids some websites and things. And, you know, we've got to do this because, job one for Christians is to lead people to Jesus, obviously. But I'm concerned about what the future for our country is if we don't instill a little bit of patriotism in the hearts of young people.
You've got a conference coming up that you're hosting in Cincinnati, November 15th and 16th, called the Unashamed Conference. Tell us about that.
Well, thank you, Tim. Yeah, it's one of our Truth for a New Generation conferences. We're going to be at Landmark Church in Cincinnati, November 15, 16. It's going to be amazing. We've got Josh McDowell, Erwin Lutzer, Abe Hamilton III that you hear on the American Family Radio Network. He's going to be there. And eight speakers. We're going to be talking about God, and we're going to be talking about defending the faith, and we're going to be talking about the gospel in America, our religious freedoms, things like that. But if I could, I want to give the title of one of my talks. I'm going to be talking about how to parent a once Christian child who has fallen away. And Tim, part of the reason I felt led to speak about that, we get a lot of correspondence from people who listen to Exploring the Word. And I guess over the last few months, my heart has just gone out to so many, many parents that they'll email me and Bert, and they'll say, you know, my child was raised in church, they made a profession of faith, and they've gone away to the university, and now they're an agnostic or an atheist, or they, this week a family I'm counseling with, their child was going to go on a exchange student thing to Germany, but it turns out they're going to get gender reassignment surgery because this child wants to change their gender. And this is a kid that had been in youth group and made a profession of faith. And so I don't want to be doom and gloom here, folks, but we are in a spiritual battle. I mean, and Satan is attacking families, and Satan is attacking this nation. And the reason, I believe the reason that there is such a vehement fight on for the future of the country is because America has been such a gospel-oriented nation. And we've done, as a nation, so much to further the Great Commission. And the devil is attacking America. The devil is attacking families. But we're doing what we can do to help people stand strong and turn to Christ.
Alex, Ray Pritchard here. I'm thinking about your topic. What an important message to give, this idea of kids raised in the church, and now they've grown up and they've departed. And I'm going to ask you a general question and just go with it any way you want to go, but why does that happen? I mean, we read the story of the prodigal son in the Bible, so we know this happens, but is there any constellation of reasons that even help us understand why and how is it kids raised in Awana and Sunday school and youth group end up sometimes so far away from the faith?
Oh, great question. And, you know, I think there are probably a number of reasons. I will say this, that in America, a lot of times the American evangelical message has been a little bit of gospel light, L-I-T-E. Just, hey, place your faith in Jesus, and one day, years and years and years from now, when you die, you'll go to heaven. Now, and that's true. But the call to become a Christian is really the call to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, and a disciple being a lifelong follower. And so the gospel, it's almost like we haven't shared the full counsel of God. And yes, it is going to heaven when I die, and it is that the blood of Jesus was shed to wash my sins away. But the call to Jesus is a call to forsake self and take up one's cross and follow Jesus. And also, let me say, Christianity is also the mandate to build your life on the Word of God. You know, when it comes down to things like the moral issues and sex before marriage or homosexuality or any of the myriad of sins that ensnare people, the Word of God is clear. And so I think, Ray, to your question, what we've got to do, you know, from childhood up, is to emphasize the authority of God's Word. But I would say to moms and dads, too, your children have to see, they have to see it role modeled in your life that Jesus is the priority. I mean, church is not something we do if there's nothing better that comes along. No, we are followers of Christ. We go to church. Jesus and all that is part of being a Christian must be the priority. You know, I tell people this, you know, Jesus did not go to the cross to accessorize our life and to necessarily make us comfortable. Jesus went to the cross because sin was a death sentence that, you know, we were bound for hell. And we serve the Lord with our whole life out of gratitude that he gave his life for us to be saved. So I think we've got to get kind of a serious level of Christian discipleship that maybe in American youth ministry for the last 30 years we haven't seen.
Yeah. Alex, thanks so much, my friend. Again, if folks want to go to your conference in Cincinnati, it's a week from?
Tomorrow.
Week from tomorrow. How can they check out the itinerary and register?
Go to alexmcfarland.com. That's just my name, alexmcfarland.com. Hope to see you in Cincinnati, November 15, 16. And, hey, Tim, I got to say a big thank you. My life is made. I got quoted in the AFA newsletter this month.
Is that right?
You did.
I can die a happy man.
Well, I don't think I did. So I don't know. I wrote it?
Yes.
About Alex?
Yep.
I guess I did get quoted. The whole thing was quoted.
Got your name at the bottom.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Alex. Take care, my friend.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Alex McFarland joining us from North Carolina. That brother is 24/7 for Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you that right now.
One more trip, and he gets writing credit for On the Road Again.
Ray, it's funny, and I know you do a lot of travel too, but Alex is...
He's unstoppable, Tim.
He is unstoppable. He lives in Charlotte, and he says when he has to go through Atlanta, mm-hmm. he says the people there at the gate know it's going by the first name.
Welcome back.
Yeah, because he goes through Atlanta travels through Atlanta so much. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. Have y'all heard about this? Before you get to the mm-hmm. next quote serious story. Chris, have y'all heard about this? What keeps going on at some of these Popeye chicken?
There's a demand for this new sandwich, and
well, people are getting in fights.
Mm-hmm, fights, yeah. I believe someone's actually shot
Ray?
Another individual.
Yeah, this is their new chicken mm-hmm. sandwich, right?
Right.
Is it supposed to be? Is it supposed to be a competitor to Chick-fil-A? Is that the idea? Okay.
Yes.
But have any of you guys had it?
I have not.
I haven't either. Have you?
I have not. Seems like we need to do an AFR field trip to check this out.
Good idea,
let's all get in the van today. Let's go
to Popeye's.
The Popeye's here in our area is kind of far away from my home. So when I'm going somewhere, I don't drive that far. But, man, this thing is like a very popular, but it's – you see these people. I'm serious. People are getting into fist mm-hmm. fights. Some guy was stabbed.
I actually saw a news story.
No. Yeah. No, you can't get stabbed
over a chicken sandwich. He cut line.
Yeah.
It cut line and
is
he
it
got
that,
stabbed.
Is it that good? I mean, what's it is? Cajun spice, is that it?
To commit an act of violence against another person to, just so they cut line? I don't know. I hadn't tried it yet.
These news stories make me not want to go there and try.
I know, yeah. But anyway, this is it.
Talking about Chick-fil-A, there was a story. I thought it was like a Babylon Bee article or something when I first saw it, but it was a legit news story from somewhere in these United States of America. A Chick-fil-A manager somewhere saw the big demand and people were standing in line and waiting or whatever else, and so the Chick-fil-A manager felt sorry for the Popeyes employees, so the Chick-fil-A manager brought them Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
I saw that.
To help them as they deal with the emotion and the strain of having to try to serve all these people Popeyes chicken sandwiches.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, anyway, I haven't tasted it yet. I got to see what's worth fighting over.
What's this all about?
I know. All right, Chris, next story.
Well, I tell you what, let's do this because we're talking about food, and a lot of people are maybe still enjoying a cup of coffee today or thinking about where it is. They might be going for a cup of joe or maybe lunch or something like that. Starbucks is rolling out 4 new seasonal cups today, but the gist with this story is none of them use the word Christmas. They all say things like Merry Coffee, Happy Holidays, things of that sort. You know, we have not heard very much about the war on Christmas under the Trump administration because when he was elected, he said, look, it's going to be Christmas. It's a federal holiday. We call it Christmas, things of that sort. But do you guys still see, beyond Starbucks and the example I just gave you, of retailers
well,
or whatnot frowning on Christmas?
You have to explain this to people, some folks, because they go, what's the big deal? No, that doesn't bother me that Starbucks doesn't put Merry Christmas on a coffee cup that they're selling. They're a secular company that is appealing to the general public. Mm-hmm. They do have seasonal colors, which is what season is it?
That's true.
It's Christmas, right?
Right.
The problem, Ray, and we pointed this out the last 10 to 15 years, and it's gotten a lot better. And that is when a society in general. What we saw happening is the secularist in this country can't stand Christianity, right?
Right.
So
right.
Christmas is a reminder to the larger culture that there is a special day where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. All right?
Right. Right.
That's the purpose that Christmas, and it is a federal holiday, by the way, has always served. So... And I don't know if this is a grand conspiracy. I don't think it is. I think it's just a conspiracy of the political correct crowd. And certainly Satan himself would hate anybody acknowledging or recognizing the birth of Jesus Christ. So, but what you do is, and what we've objected to, is in what has traditionally been known as Merry Christmas, is when companies or cities, councils, or whoever intentionally says, no, we're not going to use that anymore, that expression anymore, because it's offensive to non-Christians, and we're going to change that to a season, winter solstice parade, when it's always been called Christmas parade. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not that these kind of small things like what you're talking about with Starbucks, It's when something has always been known as Christmas, and then you want to change it to something unaffiliated with Christmas because you don't want to shine the light on the birth of Jesus Christ,
right?
In the name of being it's offensive to Christians. And furthermore, Walker, even the people who aren't Christians in this country, I don't think have a problem with Merry Christmas,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Are recognizing Christmas? They sure don't object to taking off on December 25th.
Yeah. You're right. The problem is, it's not that we want to force everybody to use the term Christmas on everything from November through January, but the problem comes when people, when groups and school boards, etc., intentionally change what has historically been the Christmas parade. The Christmas school holiday, now they're calling it a winter holiday, all because they want to be, quote, all-inclusive, and we don't want to state the obvious, and that is, for hundreds of years, or for a couple hundred years, we've been celebrating Christmas as the birth of Christ.
Right. Ray, what do you think about this?
Well, it's not the biggest issue in the world, but it does matter, doesn't it? Because yeah. it is a federal holiday. And I was thinking about our discussion earlier about Mr. Trump and him being a fighter. We haven't heard as much the last couple of years because Mr. Trump has come out. The president has said it's going to be Christmas, not just right. holidays. It's going to be yeah. Merry Christmas. And that's the benefit of having a man like that in the White House, that he's not afraid to take on the PC crowd and just tell them, forget it. This is Christmas. It's what it's going to be. So that plus the fact, Tim, thankful to you, to your dad, for right. the long leadership at AFA. We've been fighting yeah. this battle, and I think this is one that we are winning.
Yeah, we want to maintain the specialness of Christmas in America, and let's don't change the name Christmas. And just because you feel like you have to surrender to the PC crowd. One more point about this, and we'll move on mm-hmm. to the next topic that I always like to make is this. The economy of the United States, especially the retail business, November, December is crucial. Absolutely crucial, right? And right. so we all know why people buy gifts. Nobody's buying a New Year's Day gift. Okay?
Boxing Day gift.
Huh? Yeah.
Right.
No, nobody. The kids aren't running downstairs on January 1. No. We all know why November and December is so crucial and serves so much to boost our economy. It's because people don't buy holiday gifts. They don't. We all know this. Nobody says, hey, what'd you get for your holiday gift? No.
Right.
Everybody
right.
knows mm-hmm. that Americans shop for Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? So right. why do corporations who depend on the Christmas shopping season not want to acknowledge that it's the Christmas shopping season?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I do think a lot of these PC, politically correct people, the secular progressives, they got in positions at these companies where they're in charge of marketing and they wanted to change everything because they thought that Merry Christmas was offensive to people, and it's not. And I do think we're winning that back. So we're seeing less and less of the, as Walker talked about, the companies or governments intentionally taking Christmas out of their...
you know, Tim, sometimes I think it's these companies that they... They move in the wrong direction just because one person
right.
or one organization, right? Because they're out there, the activist organization, that one letter, right. one phone call, and they get scared. And I understand you don't want to go to court. You don't want bad PR and all of that. And so they switch from Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays. They don't even understand what they're doing, right. which is why what the president has been doing is so helpful, and our campaign
yeah.
has made a huge...
Yeah.
By giving pressure the other way, we've made it easier for companies to come back to where they used to be, back to Merry Christmas.
Yeah. And again, there's nothing wrong with the expression Happy Holidays. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But if you use it to the exclusion of Merry Christmas mm-hmm. or recognizing Christmas, that's the problem. When we have, for example, Memorial Day followed a month later by July 4th, Independence Day, we don't say Happy Holidays.
Yeah.
We say Happy Independence Day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We recognize the day and the time. So, all right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Chris, next story.
This one here could very well have been the lead story, could have even preempted the appearance of one Dr. Robert Jeffress. Jane Fonda is doing her part to combat what she
views. You always yell when you say Jane Fonda?
I sure do. Jane Fonda is doing what she can to combat what she views as dangerous, catastrophic man-made climate change. The actress/activist has vowed not to buy any more clothes in
what?
Order to save the environment. She spoke at a press conference. She was wearing a coat. She said, "You see this coat? I needed something red, so I went out and found this coat on sale, but this is the last article of clothing I'm ever going to buy."
Oh.
In her mind, manufacturing, things like that, are contributing to emissions and climate change and whatever else. So Jane Fonda, not buying any more new clothes. to save what she calls Mother Earth, I'm sure.
Wow.
I have a story about Jane. You know, she's best known for a lot of the baby boomers in our audience. A lot of people remember when she posed with Vietnamese soldiers back in the day.
During the Viet Cong.
Viet Cong. Thank you. My dad served in Vietnam, as I'm sure a lot of our listeners did, and my dad was still mad at her for doing that in, like, the 2000s. Hmm. So Jane Fonda has always found a way over the decades to irk some people. This one's going to be viewed as silly.
Good luck filling up your closet and your wardrobe year right. over year without buying. I guess you're going to buy used clothes.
She's got enough. What is she, 80, 85, something like that? She's not going to need
What if she did a buying spree before she did this?
Well, I'm sure she got in an SUV and drove home.
Trying to stay relevant.
Well, speaking of relevant, she credited her decision to youth climate activist Greta, how dare you, Thunberg, for making her think a lot about consumerism. All you know, right. the little yeah. girl
oh,
that came
please.
Over here. I
oh,
should be
please.
In school. That girl.
Oh, please.
So, yeah.
All right, Chris. That's enough Jane Fonda. Let's go on to the next story.
Well, real quick.
I know you wanted to yell her name again, but we're not, you can do it another time.
All right. One final thing here. A lot of people apparently are getting really stressed out about the election coming up next year. There's a survey out today, Stress in America survey, that finds a majority of Americans feel next year's election is a significant source of stress. I can already hear my mother saying, I'm just glad when it's over. I'm sure. Do you find that people are stressed out? There's a literally clearly.
Well,
a lot of
let me just say this about
that.
No, I'm not stressed about it, but all of us are used to the rough and tumble of politics and campaigns and things like that. I think what most people who are peacemakers out there don't look forward to is we all know how ugly this is about to get for the next year. And when you know that it's going to get like that, you don't look forward to it. Okay, none of us do, even though you get used to it. So I think that's what's going on here, and the endless television ads, that are about to come our way.
Yeah, in about 6 months, 6 to 8 months, when the 2020 campaign starts ramping up, then we might be. Tired of hearing about it by then.
Also, when some of the Democrats have already referred to President Trump as like Hitler,
right? Mm-hmm. We ain't seen nothing yet.
I know.
Tim.
So where do we go with that?
That's
you know,
true.
Where do we go with that?
Yeah.
So and you got this impeachment thing. Of course, I think that'll be over in a few weeks, probably after if Nancy Pelosi ever brings it up for a vote.
Yeah.
So I think it's sort of the brother. We know we're about to have to go through this hurricane and hear it, you know, the political hurricane that will be the next year. On the other hand, a lot of us are kind of dull to it now, kind of desensitized because we've seen.
I did have a conversation with my children recently, like, don't believe everything you see and hear about a candidate on an ad because we're watching, you know, a game show or whatever, and then all of a sudden, so-and-so is the worst human being in the Milky Way galaxy. And you're like, don't believe everything you see, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Did you see where the Robertson family, at least, Phil and Willie Robertson from the Duck Dynasty television show, they spoke at the Trump rally last night. Now, Phil Robertson and Donald Trump are kindred spirits on political philosophy, but they don't look nothing alike. I'm going to tell you that right now. Huh?
No.
Do you see this?
No, I didn't. I didn't know
they
were there.
Look this up.
That's
it's
cool.
funny. You got Phil Robertson in his... His outdoor camo,
right,
with his beard down to his belly button, and then you got Donald Trump in his Philadelphia lawyer suit, with his red tie and his perfectly groomed hair, and they're on stage together down there in
the Odd Couple,
in Louisiana.
It's like ZZ Top walks into Saks Fifth Avenue.
Very few places can say down there in Louisiana and be in. But I'm in North Mississippi, so that is true. All right, we will return. Thank you, Chris. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.